And welcome to Make Audio. I'm Philip Tarone, Associate Editor of Make Magazine. In this Make Audio, I interview Jerry Holkins from Penny Arcade, also known as Tyco, where we talk about the comic strips over on Penny Arcade, some content that's over there, a little bit about the history of their strip, what technologies they use, and some interesting things about some past censorship issues. So here we go.
Alrighty, I'm here with...
Jerry Holkins from Penny Arcade.
Great. Can you tell me a little bit about Penny Arcade?
Yes.
Can you tell me more of that?
Am I supposed to just... Okay, yeah. Jerry Holkins, a.k.a. Tyco Brahe. I write, essentially, the comic strip Penny Arcade. That is a collaborative project that I do with my friend Mike Krahulik, who is also known as Gabriel. Essentially, it is a comic strip that focuses on things that are of interest to geeks in general, but more specifically, people who take video games and popular culture very seriously. So that's pretty much what Penny Arcade is.
So you have like cartoons about the Infinium guys and things that are like World of Warcraft downtimes. What are some of the other things that you guys cover, like some of the story lines and ideas?
Well, just anything. Like it's very rare that we will indulge ourselves in a storyline that takes more than one, that takes more than a single comic, because by and large, things move so fast, like even in the span of a week, like, and you know, because you cover news of this type, is that things on the internet happen so fast, you don't really have time to indulge yourself in a long-term meditation of some of the issues that arise in your, you know what I'm saying, in your sphere of interest. Like, it moves pretty quick, and you kind of have to be ready to go when it goes. Yeah, I mean, it's only three times a week. Like, we could be even more timely, I suppose, but three times a week allows us to produce something that we're pretty happy with, you know, each time, and it gives us enough free time to actually be as ridiculously hardcore, you know, like it isn't a complete fabrication, like how crazy we are about game technology. Like it's a pretty significant part of our lives, and it requires a lot of time.
So tell me about the process from coming up with an idea or a storyline and where it goes from there, what happens, who does what, and how it eventually gets to the website.
Usually the way that we do our stuff is just we will talk about the news of the day, so we will follow sites like Engadget, like Evil Avatar, like Ain't It Cool News, and we read the same news sites that every other sort of... you know, enthusiast reads. It's just that, you know, we're there together, typically coming up with some ridiculous take on it or something along those lines. And so then typically it gets refined into a specific way to phrase that idea or whatever we think is interesting about it. And then at that point we take it from there, and typically that gets further refined in a Word document, and I'll send that over to him. And then I don't have any input really on the way things look. Like, that is not always, I'm not a visual person like that, and so that isn't always something that I'm interested in, whereas that's something that he is crazy about. And so it's the part of the work that he enjoys, so I just pretty much let him do anything. So if there's anything in there, like if you see something that's on a picture frame or like on a milk carton or something like that, all those details, I can't claim any credit for any of that stuff. Like, it just kind of comes to him when he's doing it.
And so as far as the technology that you guys use, you use a tablet PC for some of the graphics?
Well, we use tablets. We have a tablet PC, but that's mostly for trips. Like, sometimes we'll take a trip down to E3 or the San Diego Comic-Con, and we'll have strips that we upload from there that are just sketches. And it looks like they're done with pencil, but it's actually done with Alias Sketchbook. Like, it looks exactly the same. Like, it's a pretty amazing piece of technology. But when we're actually here just doing stuff and we have our full setups, he has a pretty big Intuos that he uses from Wacom. But as far as, like the tablet PC is a great piece of technology, but when you have the full tablet, certainly that's what you would prefer to use. Every strip starts on a piece of paper, and so we actually have those going back for 6 years at this point. But essentially that gets scanned, and then what you would call inking in any other comic medium, that all takes place in Photoshop with that Intuos I was talking about. So
what are the comics that inspired you guys or inspired you to get started?
The fact of the matter is that I never really read comics. Like, that isn't something that that was not a part of my growing up, period. Because things in my house were pretty rigorously controlled. Like culture was pretty rigorously controlled at my house. Like all the music I listened to was Christian, for example. And there was no internet, thank God. Lord only knows what sort of service my mother would have had to subscribe to keep my mind pristine. But essentially, and he hadn't really been reading comics at that time that we started Penny Arcade. Like, we started Penny Arcade essentially on a lark. We entered a contest, a cartooning contest online that we didn't win. And that's pretty much the genesis of that.
All right. Well, on another subject, a while back I read about American Greetings. You guys have did a Strawberry Shortcake parody, and can you tell me a little bit about what happened with that, what they asked you to do, or what you guys did, or whatever?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we had put the strip up. The strip is essentially, it was a parody of American McGee's approach to making games, where, like, he had done sort of a grim version of Alice in Wonderland called Alice, right? You remember that?
Yeah.
And he had just taken on Oz or something like that at the time we did the comic, and we were like, oh, Lord. And so, you know, we were trying to figure out, like, at what point it would stop. Like, what is the point at which it is so ridiculous that it collapses upon itself? Which is pretty much what we do. That's pretty much the idea for every strip. And so essentially it was a sort of a sadomasochistic Strawberry Shortcake and Plum Pudding, and then obviously, you know, Strawberry Shortcake has this kitten named Custard, but, you know, of course, in this reimagining, it's an evil saber-toothed, you know, beast that feasts on something. I can't remember the exact wording, but there was feasting, as I seem to recall. At any rate, we got the letter essentially the next day, and we wouldn't understand this until later, but essentially, American Greetings owns that brand. And they were trying to essentially reposition it and basically, like, bring it back to the forefront, which has happened to a lot of 80s brands, as I'm sure you're aware. And so what happens before that is that they scour the internet for inappropriate uses of their intellectual property. I had a friend that did some Garfield parodies that were pretty funny, and they came down on him as well. And so it happens, they go out and they scour it. And it could have been some kind of seeker, like it could have been an automated process. But at any rate, a real person wrote us eventually, and told us that it was time to take that stuff down. Which we did temporarily because we like doing Penny Arcade, and we don't want to, you know, lose our jobs and our livelihood and our major creative outlet. And so we did that. But we contacted the Legal Defense Fund. In fact, they're here at this convention. And we got some advice from them that said that our case wasn't actually clear-cut. Like, they would continue to help us if we wanted, but that what we had done was actually kind of iffy. And check this out. So this is weird, right? If we had just made fun of American McGee, we'd be okay. If we had just made fun of Strawberry Shortcake, we'd be okay. But since we were using one company's trademark in a parodic context, you know, to create an attack against another product, that created a legal ambiguity that they could clamp down on us for. And I don't think that far ahead. Like, I wouldn't have imagined that conflux of events, but it's quite true. And so we decided to go ahead and leave it off. But the fact of the matter is that people are still, like, this is years after the fact, and you're asking me about this. So I think that the idea that it is that strip is gone, I mean, people can find it, it's online, you know, whatever, but the fact that people are still talking about it, it kind of keeps the idea that these companies overreach pretty much, you know, front and center. And so I think that, I don't know, on the whole, I think it's probably a pretty good conversation topic, but I mean, we're not going to fight it legally or anything like that. Like, it's better to keep us talking about it, I think, then.
So if someone wants to get involved with webcomics or write them or just start to do them, any advice?
It's really not that hard. I mean, I can't draw. Like, this is the thing, is that people often tell me that they can't draw, but, I mean, almost everybody knows somebody who can draw a little. Like, I can't draw at all, and I have a comic. Like, you know, I just have a friend that draws real nice, and things have worked out great for us. But, It is just a matter of starting the project. I think that if you can get the project started and commit to a specific schedule, then it will sort of create its own momentum and keep you and sort of keep you motivated to do it. Like that, at least that was the case for us, that we sort of had this, you know, it started out, it was once a week, and like, well, we can do it two, oh, we can do it three, and then, okay, three is about it. You know, basically just sort of create a framework that you are comfortable working in and that your readers can count on, and that's pretty much, I mean, that's pretty much all we've done, so.
Great, and of course, since you do strips about gaming and all that, what's your favorite console game, and then favorite PC title?
So console, this is going all the way back, I'm assuming.
Yeah, anything goes.
It's still for me, it's got to be Shenmue, just because this would have been back on the Dreamcast, and then of course they came out with Shenmue 2 on the Xbox much later. But it was an amazing game because it was essentially a role-playing game where it had some fantastic elements, but many of the elements of the game just had to do with its sort of loving recreation of real life. And that was just, it was a very, very interesting topic, and I think that they nailed it. In many respects, they did some really, really powerful things just with ordinary life that I thought were really, really potent. But you want a PC too, right? Right now I play World of Warcraft every night, and I'm not saying that it's like the best game ever, but it's really, really good. And
which server are you on?
That's a top secret. That's top secret, because the problem is that I often come out and it's like this is the issue. It's like, okay, so if I say what server I'm on and what character, I can probably get a lot of shit. I bet that I could get somebody to send me some shit, but I'm resisting that. I'm resisting it. I want to earn my mount this time. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's all I'm talking about. But I mean, so maybe it's not like my favorite game ever, but it's such a force in my life right now that I really can't see past it. Like, we play every night. In fact, these guys that you see over in the booth, like, this is my crew. Like, that's, you know, these are my two hunters here. That's a druid back there, and then right over there you got the rogue. So, like, it is super fun. It is super fun. Like, and it's not asinine. Like, many games in this genre just have asinine elements for whatever reason that limit their appeal to only the most insane people. And anybody can play this game and have fun with it.
All right, so folks like Penny Arcade, they should check out pennyarcade.com. Penny-arcade.com.
Yeah.
I actually went to the wrong site, and it was like some domain thing.
No, I don't recommend that you do that.
And so folks can, there's merchandise, there's t-shirts they can buy, there's all sorts of things?
Yeah. But I mean, essentially the archives go back 6 years. So if you wanted to kind of get a cross-section of the way of the way that gaming has gone for several years, or if you want to see what were like a big explosive things that were going on a few years ago, like it's sort of an interesting way to go back through that sort of verbal history of it.
Well, thank you so much.
No, it's my pleasure.